She's been bribing people to do the introduction, which is fine. The first time I ever did public speaking, I had 10 minutes head notice. So, yeah, it was basically one of those times, hey, you're on in 10 minutes, ready, go. What am I supposed to talk about? Whatever you want to. Like, so it wasn't...
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Usually I'm at the North Store, which they have like PowerPoint and audiovisual and all that fun stuff. So I made you kind of a cheat sheet so you can take notes on and take this home. And hopefully this will make more sense by the end of the talk, what all these lines and squiggles and letters and all that fun stuff mean. So this is kind of your cheat sheet for the talk, kind of my cheat sheet for the talk. Here are more as you come in. So yes, my name is Kurt Perkins. I do functional chiropractic and lifestyle medicine. I'll talk about what that is a little bit. What my passion is creating more health, less healthcare. And that's my website, More Health, Less Healthcare. We have a huge crisis of an overabundance of healthcare system without producing the health results. And so I wanna change that and shift that away from there. What makes my heart sing is helping good people out of bad situations. And so that's you guys, the good people, and potentially in a bad situation. And most would say it's the hormone imbalance that is the bad situation. I say that's not the bad part. The bad part is how it gets managed with your doctors, with your providers, with whoever you're going to see this. Because what happens is you end up treating a symptom. And there's one thing you take away tonight. What I want you to understand is a hormone is an effect of about 8 to 10 other steps that happen before that. And then the hormone becomes imbalanced. And so we're gonna hopefully backtrack quite a bit and give you an understanding of why that's imbalanced, opposed to giving you a bunch of tips of, hey, if this is imbalanced, take this, do this, do this. Giving you tips and tools doesn't work. How many know you should eat well, drink water, all that fun stuff? Right. If I can get you to understand why and get you to change your beliefs around that, your behaviors are gonna be a lot more successful with it, and you're gonna have a lot more success long-term. When you hear hormone imbalance, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What do you think of? PMS. What else? What's that? Menopause. What about hot flashes, crankiness, brain fog, cramping? For the guys, low T, you'll see all those types of things. When I think of hormone imbalance, I think of my 3.5-year-old son. So who's had toddlers or grandkids that are toddlers? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. When things are going great, the sweetest kid, the most polite, amazing. When we're trying to get him to do something he doesn't want to do, what's the first thing to happen to a 3-year-old when he doesn't want to do something? Right, I call it drunken leg syndrome. So like he starts doing one of these and like start, you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And what's shifting that is his nervous system. And so if you get take away one thing today, when you hear hormones, I want you to think of nervous system. Because your hormones are just a communication of your body's interpretation of your environment. So let's say it's a good temperature in here. Let's say for some reason it dropped 50 degrees outside in this time that we're here tonight. You get outside, you didn't bring your coat, you didn't bring anything. Your body recognizes a change in temperature. Your nervous system says, hey, I have to regulate this so I don't freeze to death, I don't get hypothermia. So I'm gonna activate my DNA, which is gonna activate certain proteins to activate certain hormones to say, hey, regulate body temperature. And in that case, it would kind of be your thyroid to help regulate body temperature. So your hormones in effect have a bunch of different steps before you get to that imbalance. Your nervous system will be divided into protective side and growth side. So think running from a bear. So say you're out hiking, mama bear pops out in front of you, nervous system switch to protection side, fight or flight, like, you just want to get out of there. The other side, think of a baby. They don't have any defense mechanisms. What do babies do? They cry, they eat, and sleep, right? If danger comes upon a baby, what's their defense mechanism? They have none. That's mom and dad's job. And so we have these two systems, which is your sympathetic, which I call the gas pedal, or the protective side. And we have this rest and digest, your parasympathetic, or what we call your growth side. And again, so that's what you're gonna see on this, on your little cheat sheet. So you got protection side, you got growth side. I'll get to what these letters mean here as we get going. One of the things, because this is kind of an unconventional way to do a workshop in the middle of a store and all this, there's lots of external input coming into your nervous system. And so right now, your hormones are regulating, what do you have to do to pay attention? One of the ways to get a crowd to pay attention is to relax them down. And so we're gonna do just a little bit of exercise, hopefully helps you block out the beeps and the noises and the conversations and all that stuff going outside of here. So what I want you to do is, this may seem silly, but I'm gonna have you just close your eyes. And for those of you who've had toddlers, have had small kids, grandkids, anything to that nature, what I want you to do is picture just a fun day at the park. Sun shining, just a gentle breeze coming across your face, the kids swinging, there's no whining, there's no crying. He's sharing the swing, another kid comes in from the playground and says, I want to be on the swing. He's like, great, here, take my swing. Playground's over, you guys head inside. It's dinner time. And what you're gonna serve for dinner is a big plate full of broccoli, some kale, some cauliflower, and some collard greens. And your kid looks at you, eyes get nice and big, and says, this is my favorite meal of all time. Thank you, mommy, for making this for me. Thank you, daddy, for serving this and providing these amazing nutrients so I can grow healthy and have great vitality and longevity. Meal's over, and it's bedtime. You say, hey, Johnny, let's go up to bed. No fighting, no arguing, no shaky leg syndrome. Says, great, I'm tired. I think I need a good rest tonight. And so you're getting the kid ready for bed. You are reading a story, maybe sing a little song. And he's very grateful, and he's appreciative, and he's starting to calm and relax. And he looks up at you, says, one more hug, one more kiss. And so you start to lean in, your lips graze his forehead, a big sigh comes out, and boom. What's your nervous system doing?
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place. You just experienced what I call this autonomic shift. And so the big A in hormone imbalance is called autonomic imbalance. So autonomic, think automatic. It's the stuff you don't have to think about. You know enough to chew your food and swallow, but after that your body knows, I need to absorb these nutrients, I need to eliminate this waste, I need to assimilate these nutrients, and good to go. You know enough to put your head on the pillow and close your eyes at night. Your nervous system knows how to do the rest to keep you breathing, keep blood circulating, keep oxygen going, the whole nine yards. So when you wake up in the morning, you're rested, you're ready to go, good to go. Now, like I said, the autonomic imbalance, one side is protection, one side is growth. You can't be in growth and protection at the same time. Your body's got to choose. And other than me popping a balloon, most of the time, it's how you react to your environment that sets you up on one side versus the other. One of the main protective hormones, this letter C, is cortisol. And you guys may have heard of cortisol. What have you heard about it?
Increases
when you're under stress. Is that a smart thing or is that a stupid thing? But is that cortisol's fault if you're under chronic stress that it's so high? No.
It's the the way it works.
So it's always a smart thing. This hormone is doing its job based on your environment, your physical, your chemical, your emotional, your social, your spiritual, your relationship inputs into your nervous system, is doing its job to protect you. For some reason, your body is perceiving that as danger, and in order to protect you, your body's always going to err in survival over sex. You're going to live before you build a legacy. So in order for your body to survive another day, cortisol will be released. So you said it's released during stress, but what's it actually doing to the body?
Protecting.
Protecting by how? Cortisol is going to release something into your bloodstream. No idea? Say it again. Cortisone different than cortisol. No, say it again.
It wouldn't be glucose to exceed.
Yeah, exactly, that's what it is. Cortisol's job is to dump sugar into your bloodstream. Why would sugar be important if you're facing a mama bear? Right, instant energy, you want that rocket fuel. There's another letter under the C in A that's also released by the adrenal glands, which cortisol is released. What hormone sounds like adrenals that starts with A?
Adrenaline.
What's adrenaline going to do to your heart rate? It's going to go up. What's it going to do to your blood pressure?
Up.
What's it going to do to your breathing, your respiratory? Is it going to be nice and relaxed or fast and short? Right. So it's going to speed that up. What's it going to do to your blood clotting factors? Increase them, yes. Why? Exactly, exactly. So think protection. If the bear gets you, you want clotting factors there so you don't bleed out. So it's there to protect you in order for you to survive that bear attack or that perceived emotion or whatever it is. So now we have increased blood sugar with all the cortisol, and we have increased heart rate, blood pressure, cholesterol, clotting factors. What's that look like if you walked into your doctor?
There's no bear.
Right. That's our number one and number three cause of death in our country, heart disease and diabetes. How is that going to be treated? Right. If you're lucky, lifestyle changes, but it's going to be covered up. You got high blood pressure? Great. We're going to knock that out. You have high clotting factors? Great. We're going to thin your blood. You have high cholesterol? Great. We're going to thin that out too. So now you feel better. What happened to your chances of surviving that bear attack? Right, you are less protected, exactly. So you feel good as you die quicker and sooner.
Oh, gosh.
Look at the stats. We've had the war on fat since 1978 with low fat, no fat, low calorie. What's happened to heart disease since the late 70s? Right, increased. It's skyrocketed. Who was it? It was Nixon had the war on cancer. We need $1 billion to fight cancer. We're what? How many decades past that? What's happened to cancer rates? Right. You can't fight disease. You have to build health. It's totally two separate entities. So we have this autonomic imbalance. So on the protection side, I mean, there's other ones to go, but cortisol and adrenaline are the two points I want you to make note of. On this growth side, I highlighted three hormones. The I is insulin. So if we're in protection side, blood sugar's skyrocketing, Insulin gets released to do what to blood sugar? To decrease it, to store it. Because high blood sugar for a long time is going to be detrimental. It's like razor blades going through your arteries. So your body says, hey, insulin, I want to store this for later. The problem, remember, is you can't be in growth and protection at the same time. And your body's always going to err on the side of protection. So if your body's listening to cortisol, how well is it going to listen to insulin? Nada. So now we become insulin resistant. What does insulin resistance sound like? Diabetes, obesity, and we'll get to why that's going to be a huge input into hormone imbalances. Insulin is probably one of the, if you want to focus on one hormone ever, it's got to be insulin and making that more sensitive, making it more regulated in the body. And I'm not talking about adding more synthetic insulin into your body. The less you release it, the better. So in other words, the more you keep your blood sugars down, the less your pancreas has to work to spit insulin out. Insulin is a growth hormone, but overabundant, it becomes toxic to the body. It actually shifts you back over to that protective side. So it kind of perpetuates the cycle of more protection, of more high blood sugar, more cardiac output, more decreased immune system, the whole nine yards on that side of it. I picked up a book, Magnificent Magnesium. It says we're very deficient in magnesium. I say, yes, we're deficient, but guess what hormone regulates magnesium in the body? Insulin. So if you have an insulin resistance problem, magnesium goes out the wayward. One of the big functions of magnesium is to make muscles relax. So calcium makes them contract, magnesium makes it relax. So if your muscles are always tight and tense, what kind of symptoms do you think you'll have based on that? Cramping, chronic fatigue, those types of things. If you're looking at a blood vessel, which is a muscle, and that's always constricted and tight and crunching down, what happens to your blood pressure? That starts to skyrocket. So again, that shifts you back over to that protective side of life. Another growth hormone on here is the estrogen. That's the one most people want to regulate, or progesterone or testosterone. What's the commonality of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol? They all have a commonality. What do you think it is? Their basic building block. They're all made of cholesterol. So with our whole cholesterol lowering craze, what's happening to our end game of the hormones that we want to be very balanced in? Right. And cholesterol is going to be used based on what side of the nervous system you're operating on. If your body's on the protective side, if they're on that sympathetic side, if it's on that gas pedal side, your body's going to say, hey, cholesterol, I need you to go build up cortisol. If it's building over cortisol, then you're not going to have the building blocks for estrogen, for testosterone, for progesterone, for all those ones that are the sexy hormones. Instead, it's getting utilized to save your life. So of course it's going to be high, because most people are operating on that side of a fight or flight. The T, another growth hormone. Any guesses what that would be? It's not testosterone. How about thyroid? The problem is we want to chase thyroid. We want to give it Synthroid. We want to chase the TSH value, but it's a growth hormone. If we're on protection side, what's going to happen to thyroid? Right, you're going to decrease your thyroid function, and you're just going to chase numbers for the rest of your life until you actually address this autonomic imbalance. Until you can regulate the nervous system, which there's where the lifestyle medicine part comes in for what I do, is because it's your choices that have the greatest impact on what your nervous system is going to adapt to. So what's A? No, the big A. Autonomic imbalance. And there's two sides to it. What are they?
Protection
and growth. The fancy term for protection is your sympathetic side. Your fancy term for growth side is your parasympathetic side. And if there's one saying I want you to walk away with tonight, what is it? You can't be in growth and protection at the same time. Now, in a healthy body, you should be able to flip-flop pretty quickly, fairly efficiently. So let's say the bear comes up, you're scared, you run away, you're in safety, you may have tripped and fallen, scraped up your arm, maybe even broken a bone. Great, now your body switches over to rest and digest, to healing mode, to growth mode. Give it some time, boom, you're back in the middle again. You're ready for that next, whatever is gonna happen and pop up. The problem is our nervous system's like plastic. If you bend a plastic spoon once, what happens to it? Not much, right? If you keep molding it, then you can create a permanent curve in that plastic spoon or plastic utensil. Our nervous system, our brain is the same way. The more input you put into it, the more it starts building up connections, and then that becomes your default setting for whatever happens the next time. So if your bear attack, if you remember there was some leaves going across the path and then the bear popped out, you may be sitting on your porch totally safe and you see some leaves go across your driveway, and that automatically signals a memory, like a mental emotional connection to that, and you freak out. Letter B, any guesses what that is? Brain-body connection. This is a huge component with hormone balancing and hormone regulation. Your nervous system comprises both head and body. Most of it starts in the brain with the hypothalamus and pituitary in the brain to release whatever hormone it is with some sort of landing point within the body to raise heart rate, to raise blood sugar, to relax muscles, whatever it is. The opposite happens too though. The body will give the brain input into, hey, this isn't right. I need some feedback to regulate what's not right down here. One of the easiest ways to disrupt brain-body connection is through your posture. What do most people do on a daily basis? They're sitting at a computer for 12 hours a day, aren't they? Right, or what I call Tyrannosaurus text. It's the head forward, the arms getting real short. The hunch looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but you got a cell phone in front of you. What that's gonna do, those poor postures, those poor movements along the body actually send a, hey, I need protection. So you need to move joints in full ranges of motion to signal to the brain, hey, we're okay. If you have an injury and you start limping, you start favoring it, you're shutting off actually that growth mode to heal that up. You're starting to quarantine that off. So movement is like essential. Don't think of movement as exercise to lose weight. Actually, exercise is probably one of the worst ways to lose weight, but the benefits to your nervous system, to your brain, to your spinal cord, to your homeostasis regulation can't be matched by any drug or surgery out there. So your postures, they've actually done studies on this, and it only takes 2 minutes a day. That's called the power pose. So when you see a superhero, what do they look like? Right, they have a strong base. They kind of puff out their chest a little bit, not in a threatening pose, but they're taking up real estate. And what that's shown to do is decrease cortisol levels. And so since you guys have been sitting here, we're gonna have you stand up and you're gonna do a power pose. And in the studies, you're supposed to do this twice a day for 1 minute each time. So we're just gonna do one time here. So get in your best superhero pose and we're gonna time you here.
Deep breathe or hold breath?
Yeah, breathe normal.
Feet apart?
Yeah, you're kind of getting real estate, not so you're knocking your neighbor or anything like that. and you're not in a threatening position, but you're opening up all those joints, you're opening up your chest, your lungs, and you're being strong. And you kind of like, imagine someone's just gonna come up and sock you in the gut as hard as you can, and you're ready for it. So who's ready? Who wants the nice knuckle sandwich to the midsection?
Sarah does.
They're calling you out. So that's 45 seconds. Feel silly yet?
No.
Good. You should do this in the mirror. So nobody's around. We got 3, 2, 1. Great. You just lowered your cortisol levels.
I can tell.
You can tell. Good. You just shifted away from protective mode to growth mode. Yep, twice a day for 1 minute each time. I don't think there's an increase in benefit, but it's not gonna hurt anything. Keep going for it. Like at my office, the only time I sit down is if I have a new consultation. Like my desk is a standing station I create, like I built something against the wall. So today I wasn't seeing patients, I was doing writing and paperwork and things like that. So I stood there for probably a good 6 hours. So the only time I sit is in my drive to work, the drive down here. And if at night we're watching TV, I actually just usually lay on the floor opposed to sitting. So the more you can get away from that sitting posture, because think, sitting, it shoots us forward. And if someone's depressed, if someone's anxious, if someone is fearful, it's that closed off posture.
Could and you so recommend you're, it for insomnia in the middle of the night?
What?
Power pose.
Go for it. I mean, if you're up anyway, right? I mean, there'd probably be a whole lot of other things I'd recommend before saying the power pose is going to cure insomnia. But again, there's many. It's chronic illness is death by 1,000 cuts. The problem with our healthcare system is we want to equate everything to just an event. Like you broke your arm, that's an event. You got hit by a truck, that's an event. The problem is our chronic conditions have been accumulation of so many things for so long until boom, something finally breaks the camel's back. And now we've caught the disease, we've caught the cancer, we've caught the heart disease, we've caught the diabetes, when instead we've developed that over 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We're seeing it quicker and quicker now because we're seeing 8-year-olds with type 2 diabetes and cancer is now one of the number one causes of death in kids, non-accident causes. So health is a tricky game, but the more you switch from covering symptoms to finding the root cause, the more answers you're gonna get. It may not be your fault in the position you got to, but you have a responsibility to get yourself out of it. And the more we can take responsibility, the more success we're gonna have. So what's B?
Brain-body
connection. How else could you affect the brain with your body?
Positive thoughts.
Positive thoughts. But I'm talking about something physical other than exercise. Breathing. Excellent. How about give a hug? That's gonna change your hormones instantly. There you go. We have a loving staff at the store.
How about meditation?
Meditation's another good thing. But again, don't close yourself off in the posture. Be open, be strong while you're doing it. Now, how many doctors, if you've ever consulted with the hormone imbalance, how many have told you it's a nervous system problem and it's a power pose problem? Right, none. And so I think that's where the frustration that I get from patients coming in is like, my doctor doesn't listen, my doctor doesn't do this, blah, blah, blah. And so I just ask one simple question. I ask, why do you think you're sick? And most often they're saying some sort of lifestyle stuff. And then I ask them, why do you think your doctor thinks you're sick? And usually it's a bad bug, bad gene, or bad luck. And so their basic philosophical premise of why they're sick differs. And so their solutions are always going to differ and it's going to clash. And so one of the biggest and best ways for you to create more health, less healthcare is to make sure your basic premise of health, of disease, of whatever it is, matches that of your doctor. If you guys can match, you can have healthy conversation, even if you disagree. You can bounce questions off without being defensive. It just opens up a whole lot more communication and a lot better results than I think this, he thinks that, this is what he wants to do, this is what I want to do, and we think each other are idiots. I see it all the time. So if you're going to interview doctors, hey, just ask them one question: why are people sick? And if they say it's lifestyle, then what's the solution have to be?
Change.
Lifestyle. If they say people are sick because of lifestyle and the solution is here's a drug or surgery, that's a contradiction, and eventually contradictions lead to destruction. If they think people are sick because of bad bugs, bad genes, and he prescribes drugs and surgery, great, he's congruent with that. Whether I think he's right or wrong, he's congruent with his solution to what his cause is, and therefore he probably has more success in that manner. How long do you do the power pose for?
1 minute.
How many times a day?
Five.
There we go. So we got A is autonomic imbalance, B is brain-body connection, C, any guesses what C is? Chemistry? Pretty close, chemicals. It's actually toxins, but nobody knows what ABT, so ABC. And this is probably the hardest one to deal with. There's over 80,000 chemicals on the market. Less than 2,000 are actually been tested, and all they've been tested for is, does this cause cancer? What we know about chemicals is that they're hormone disruptors. They'll act like other hormones. So your plastics, your perfumes, well, they're called parabens, what you'll see in sunscreens and lotions and all those types of things, will act as estrogen, will act as other hormones. So if there's a hormone input in your body, your body sees that, says, hey, I don't have to make that, and you systematically shut that down. So let's say you want to get big and bulky, and you're like, I'm going to take anabolic steroids. I'm going to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. You start taking testosterone, your body says, hey, I've got enough. I don't have to produce anymore. So as soon as you get off of that, your body's like, I don't know what to do anymore. I've totally fatigued out and kind of forgot how to do this. Same thing with thyroid. You start introducing TSH, your body's like, hey, I don't have to produce this anymore. Great. I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to chill out. I'm going to relax. And you're like, hey, I want to get off the thyroid med now. Great. You come off and your thyroid's freaking out because you don't know how to do it. Serotonin for antidepressants, same thing. So whenever you introduce a hormone into the body, even if it's bioidentical, there's going to be some sort of reaction, what we call negative feedback, that says, I've got this. I've got enough, I don't have to produce this. And you do that for long enough, your body basically gets lazy and it doesn't produce it. And so when you remove that hormone, now you're in freak out mode and things go off the charts. Depends how long and kind of other factors. It's a tough road depending how long you've been on it. Yeah. I mean, we have success with people getting back healthy, but it's usually a tougher road to get that. And so with the chemicals, the toxins, those are going to be some of the ones to avoid. Actually, all of them to avoid. They did a study. They took 10 babies. Soon as they're born, they took the cord blood and they ran a chemistry test with those. And they found over 280 industrial chemicals in the cord blood of these babies. Over 200 of these chemicals had been banned decades before. So this baby should have never been exposed to it. Probably the mom was never exposed to it, but now it's a generational type thing. And so the issues in the tissue type of thing, we're not passing just our DNA code, we're passing our experiences, we're passing what's harboring in our body onto those next generations. And so it's kind of scary stuff. And so one thing we're working with a lot with patients, especially kids, is let's try to make your home as toxic free as possible. And you're gonna see things that say non-toxic and toxic free. Totally two different ball games. There's no real regulation over the words non-toxic. The only regulation is, let's say you have 100 rats. So like say I take this lotion off the shelf, I give it to 100 rats, 49 of them die, 51 of them live. I can say this is non-toxic.
Oh boy.
The other thing is, let's say I take this lotion and I eat a teaspoon of it and it kills me in 72 hours. They'll label that toxic. If I take a tablespoon of it and I live past 72 hours, that's considered non-toxic. So the regulations are few and far between and it's loose. And so that's why in your little packets on the thing, there's a yellow card. It's this cool site, it says takethetoxictest.com. And it'll have you go through your cleaners, your lotions, your detergents, your perfumes, your hair care products, your all this types of stuff, and it'll give you a grade. And I've only met a few that don't have an F by the time they're done with that type of thing. It's some scary stuff. And then what's cool about it is it's tied to the Environmental Working Group, which will say, I'm just picking on this Jason's lotion, say it has this chemical in it, and it'll rate it and be like, here's what it's tied to. It could be digestive problems, it could be respiratory problems, it could be immune problems. So think of what our kids are up against today. Digestive, immune, respiratory, asthma, allergies, ADHD, autism. Our chemicals are a huge onslaught into that, and they're gonna wreck our hormones. So that's my challenge for that part, for the C, is take that toxic test, go through stuff, and whatever you have an F in, start with whatever's easier to change. It may be your shampoo. You may not have an emotional attachment to whatever shampoo you use. It may be, think of where you're spraying your perfume mostly. Right on your neck here. Where's your thyroid sit? Right on the neck. Another huge place for toxins is gonna be your water. Avoid tap water like the plague. They got the reverse osmosis machine right there for 25 cents a gallon. Make sure you're not drinking tap water. The chlorine, the fluoride, the bromides, all those things are gonna be hormone disruptors. They're either gonna mimic the hormone, or what they're gonna do is take the place of what an actual nutrient would go onto that hormone. So it's blocking what you actually require to further that hormone process. And so yeah, at the end of the day, you may have the hot flashes, the mood swings, the foggy brain, all the symptoms of it, and you might feel good by adding a hormone to it, but did that solve the problem? No. And there's where each individual's kind of background experiences are gonna be different. And so what I've done is kind of give you an opportunity. I know this isn't really an intimate environment and you may be shy of asking specific questions. And so I've given you an opportunity to kind of pick my brain. There's a couple ways. One is just to jump on my email list. And with that, it gives you my 7-day jump start. And so it'll go through some of these things and daily actionable steps. Number two is, yeah, I want to pick your brain for 15 minutes. So all we do is put your name, put your phone number, and I'll have my assistant Callie reach out to you to schedule a time where we can block 15 minutes and call that. If you're like, I know I need way more than 15 minutes, then we have the opportunity to come to the office. We'll sit down one-on-one for an hour and go for that.
Can you do both?
You can do both. I've had people do the 15 minutes and they're like, as we get talking, they're like, yeah, I have so many more questions and all this type of stuff. Let's just schedule an in-house. And then the fourth is, if you have a group, church, work, women's group, men's group, whatever it is, you're like, hey, we need a speaker. Everyone's always complaining of this problem in the group. Get in contact. Because it's Colorado Springs, it's my community, it's my backyard. I want to reach out to you guys. It's no charge when it's local. If I have to travel, great. I'll charge you if it's a if it's a big event or whatever. But we want to help people create that more health, less healthcare, and get you on a better track to that. I have two small kids. We have one on the way. I want them to have friends as they grow up. I mean, if you see the stats right now, in the next 20 years, one in two will have autism. Great, who's my kids gonna play with? One in five now is diabetes. It'll be like one in three in diabetes in 20 years. So when they're entering the early 20s. Alzheimer's, autism, like everything is just starting to implode. And selfishly, I wanna create a good environment for them. So I want you guys to be healthy so then they have kids to play with and they have girls that they can marry and have kids without all these ailments and diseases and all this not so fun stuff. So fill that out, give me back. We don't spam you, we don't do any of that type of stuff. Next.